Bibles to the 29th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 29, verse 1, hear now God's inerrant, infallible, and inspired word. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east, and he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot, until all the flocks be gathered together, and till they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near, and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel, and lifted up his voice, and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said unto him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah his maid for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet other 7 years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For, she said, Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, Because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi, or Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, Now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and left off bearing. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his word. Well, thus begins Jacob's chapter in Haran. It is a long chapter. We see here that he is signed up for 14 years, and he will sign up for yet another six or seven, depending on how you count it, later on. It's very, very important for us that when we have this narrative in mind, that we also keep in mind the narrative of Eleazar and Isaac and Rebekah. Because I can imagine, and I don't really have to imagine very hard, that there were many times around the dinner table in Isaac's house, or even when Abraham had his son and daughter-in-law over for dinner, that they brought Eleazar in, and he discussed with them all the things that he did when he traveled to Haran to find a wife for his master Isaac. And Isaac, and how pleased he was when he saw Rebekah coming down off of the camel, coming to him, and how he married her and took her into his tent. And Eleazar, and how that when he found the house of Bethuel, and how that when Rebekah consented to go with him, that there was great joy, not only in that house, but in Eleazar, who had been given success by the Lord in his journey. And you remember how choked up I got when we read that. Well, here then we have a parallel scene, except this time it is not a servant that is sent, it is the master himself. Jacob himself goes. And while Eleazar had the gifts of Abraham, a rich man, with him, Jacob has nothing. In fact, on his way there, he had stopped and made a pillow out of a rock. Later on, he's going to say, I passed by this place on the way in, and I had nothing. And now I'm returning with a family and a flock. And so, when Jacob reaches that well, that may have been the same well that Eleazar had found in Haran, in the family of Bethuel and Laban. And the flocks are there ready to be watered, and the shepherds are there, and they know Laban. They know the house of Laban and the house of Bethuel. They know Rachel, that she's on her way with the sheep. And so Jacob, the first thing he notices when he arrives is that he has found the right place. We must understand that Jacob is a man who is pursuing the covenant of God. He has received the birthright and the blessing. And we saw in the last chapter that when Isaac sent him out, he sent him out with a great blessing, the blessing of Abraham. That not only did he get it by, if you will, craft, and we talked about that, but also he got it forthrightly as Isaac brought that blessing to him a second time. And so now Jacob says, I found the right spot. And then he sees Rachel coming. And it's a very dramatic scene. He sees Rachel coming. And seeing Rachel, he begins serving her right away. He takes the stone off of the well and waters her flock. And then he kisses her and lifts up his voice to weep because he has found his covenant bride. He has found the one that will be the mother of the seed through whom all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is not simply Jacob being caught up with the emotion of finding the long-lost love of his life. This is a man concerned with spiritual things, with the understanding of the covenant upon his mind. Yes, yes, God has made my way prosperous as He did Eleazar before me. And as we should have taken a bride, a mother, for that seed which should come, not from the land of Canaan, but from the land of my father's ancient house, so has the Lord led me here and brought me to that very one. So Jacob lifts up his voice to weep. Such is his commitment to the covenant of God. Such is his commitment to spiritual things. Oh, I know, some naysayers might want to set forth, well, you know why Jacob left town. He left town fleeing for his life from his brother Esau. Well, that's a part of the reason. But that's not why Jacob lifts up his voice to weep here in Haran. He lifts up his voice to weep because the Lord has made his way successful and he has found the bride who will issue forth the seed that will be the deliverer of the world. These are the weighty matters that Jacob has on his mind in Haran. So then, he negotiates with Laban for the bride. And notice, he has nothing to negotiate with. He has no dowry. He has no endowment for her. He has nothing to give her. I would say he had what's in his knapsack, but he may not even have a knapsack at this point. He has nothing. And so as an indentured servant, he will indenture himself and his service for Rachel, the mother of the covenant. Such is Jacob's commitment to the covenant of God. And so it says, because of the great love that he had for her, that the days flew by for those 7 years. And then, behold, it was Leah. This sleight of hand by Laban, that wicked man, by this time. You know, there was a time, I believe, early on, when Laban had some respect for Jacob. But by this time, after Jacob has served him 7 years, not because of Jacob's service, but because of Laban's covetousness, because of Laban's conniving ways, I believe that he has no respect for Jacob because he is wicked, not because Jacob is wicked. And so he has no qualms at all about substituting Leah for Rachel on the wedding night. We could conjecture about what reasons Laban might have had. I believe that it may have been a custom, but I don't believe it was a necessary custom, his excuse. Well, you know, you can't give up the younger till you give up the older. And why didn't he discuss these things with Jacob beforehand? All these questions come to mind. And while this wickedness is certainly obvious to us, we must also understand that behind that wickedness is that overarching decree of God. For God would give Jacob many sons in order to rule the land of Israel in 12 tribes. So we have the conniving of Laban and the providence of God. And so then another 7 years of service. And during those 2 7-year periods, we find out in the next chapter that God prospered Jacob and made him, even in the time of his sojourn, where we might say that he was oppressed and slighted, God made him a very wealthy man so that he might return and administer the kingdom as the patriarch of his people. Then we see the birth of the sons to Leah. And we see that Leah at first And we'll see this again in the next chapter, the results of the domestic disputes that take place in the family, that it has a poor effect on everyone. But at this point, notice what Leah names her sons. First of all, Reuben, which is, I have a son. Then Simeon, which is what? God has granted me a hearing. Then Levi, which means, where is it? Which means joined, right? We're joined together. And then Judah, that is praise. And so she names all of her sons according to the blessings that she is receiving from the Lord. Later on, we'll see that those names turn into rivalry between Rachel and Leah. But not so at this point, because the Lord saw that Leah was hated. Did you notice also the language of Moses here? On the one hand, it says that, let's see, how does he say it? Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah in verse 30. And then the Lord's interpretation of that, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated. You see that? You see how that compares there? And so the Lord takes up for the hated Leah because she did not receive the proper love and care that she should have from her husband. Yes, it is an unusual circumstance, an extraordinary circumstance. We know that from the beginning, Jesus tells us it was not so, that marriage was to be monogamous. And yet, in the providence of God here, through the connivance of Laban, we have this deformed family. And yet, even out of this deformed family, the Lord is pleased to pursue on behalf of His covenant. So then, as we proceed through the narrative, we will see the unhappy results of the domestic discord. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.